Welcome to the Analytics at Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. It is Analytics at Dynasty release weekend. And I thought I'd take a minute to reflect on a couple of things that that have happened along the way. I think are pretty interesting. Of course, you know, the process is a pretty long writing process. And it goes, you know, essentially late spring, kind of post-draft through this week. And it's kind of a long cycle. And I'll say one of the best things about it has been the ability in this past year to really reflect on some thoughts and some research and get sort of the instant feedback loop. And sometimes a lot of the decisions that we make and the analysis that we do and all of this, all of our decisions take a long time to sort of get feedback loop on. And it's tough to know even if we're right. You know, I was did a podcast tonight where I was talking about, I was really talking about I made a trade of, or I selected AJ Dillon over Justin Jefferson in a deal, or in a rookie draft last year. And there were some specifics that I thought they were pretty close, like in terms of odds, you know, the second round running back and the first round wide receiver. Odds based, they're pretty close, and you could sort of go with you can go with the second round running back in that, you know, as a base rate thing and be fine there. I don't think it's bad process, right? I think there are even sets of assets, and then you break ties a little bit from there, and you know of course you go first round running back over first round wide receiver, right? It's you know, running back versus a wide receiver round above it, right? So second comparing it to first, and third round running backs comparing it to second, right? Those are the basic equivalencies of each other. And so we took AJ Dillon. It was my co-host Chad Parsons and I took AJ Dillon over Justin Jefferson. And you know, when we did it, it was interesting because we were sort of in very much a win now mode, and that's a good example of things don't necessarily turn out that way. Lots of injuries and didn't make the playoffs. So that happened. But we had an interesting structure. Our team was pretty deep in wide receiver. So we had a bunch of strength. You know, we'd hit on Terry McLaurin, you know, almost accidentally. You know, we had he was part of like a pretty large core of wide receivers that we had. So we were pretty deep at the position. And we kind of put ourselves in a situation of, you know, what's the thing that happens that really tilts the league for us? And we said, you know, how likely is it that, you know, Justin Jefferson's really going to get the volume as a rookie to make an impact for us over and above what we already have? Compared to, you know, what's the possibility that AJ Dillon could be, you know, get starts down the stretch and in a big spot, really outproduce his draft cost and you know, really shape a week or so down the stretch or in the playoffs. Like, which one of those players is more likely to do that? Because we had the luxury, I think, of being in that position. Again, a lot of things didn't turn out right, but we went Dillon over Justin Jefferson. And as it turned out now, I'm not convinced that, like, clearly Justin Jefferson has produced better. And as we sit here right now, Justin Jefferson appears to have been the better pick. I'm not sure that makes the decision wrong. You know, we kind of understood what we were doing. Did we miscalibrate a little bit? Did Jefferson hit maybe a 2% outcome that we had weighed at, 0.02? Yeah, that's you know, 0.02%. Maybe that's possible. You know, did we miscalibrate that? I guess a little bit, probably. You know, did we think maybe did we underweight Aaron Jones a little bit? Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, what's 2021 going to bring? I'm not sure, right? So I still think that there's time. Obviously, AJ Dillon's at a pretty big disadvantage, but you know, you could take a similar player like AJ Dillon in the form of Antonio Gibson, in the form of even some later guys like just James Robinson. that really got this runway really cleared out from them and were really productive. And in that light, you know, I think it's much closer of a thing. You know, if I had taken Antonio Gibson there instead of AJ Dillon, how would I feel right now? You know, I still think that would have been a negative. You know, that wouldn't have been the optimized thing. But, you know, outcome bias, that would have been, you know, that certainly would have been a thing to, you know, it's much closer, right? And you start measuring warp and value and all these things, like it's much closer than Dillon and Jefferson are right now. And so as I sit here right now, I'm not sure what the right answer is. I really, you know, did we miss on the player? Sure. Was it the wrong process? I'm not convinced that it was. You know, we thought it out, and it was, you know, maybe it was a 400 level decision when we should have went 200 level. I could sort of get that criticism, but I given what we knew at the time, you know, I thought it was an equal, if not better, bet that Dillon would have the higher upside. And again, maybe that was, you know, maybe we were talking impact of a league, you know, down the stretch, like 20% for Dillon and maybe 5% from Jefferson. And we just happened to roll that rare time where, you know, the small percentage, right, the 5% hits and the 80% hits for Jefferson. And there you go, right? That's maybe where we're at. Yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting thing in terms of those feedback loops. But so those decisions take a long time is really the point. And we don't truly know. You know, I think if we look back in a couple of years, it's the most likely outcome, of course, that Josh Jefferson's going to outproduce AJ Dillon. We're not sure yet. And there's been plenty of things that have happened in year one that change in year two and three. So my point is that these things can take time. But the best part about the analytics at Dynasty this year has been the quick feedback loop, right? In terms of, hey, we can, you know, we can come in, we can, you know, here's some thoughts that I have, like, let's, you know, this is just sort of what I'm thinking. There's some of the work that I'm doing, some ideas, you know, whether it's kicking around in the group me or talking about it in a podcast in sort of a short form. You know, and I did that throughout if you've been subscribing for a while, you might hear things that are familiar in the podcast or in the book from podcast in times past. And that's, you know, very much intentional. That was very much things that we did that were, you know, testing, right? You know, basically me talking through some things and testing some different strategies. So I think that's really, it has really been helpful, and I've gotten feedback on these things and, you know, discussion strategies in the group me. All of it has been great. So that's really, you know, one of the things that it's really been beneficial this year, a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, but that quick feedback loop and this subscriber community is absolutely one that I put up against anyone else, just in terms of thoughtfulness, in terms of, you know, strategic big picture, all of these things that really, you know, it really is a great community. So, and it's really been helpful in the process. So I just want to sort of share that and say thank you. One other thing that's been a pretty big, ongoings in my life has been, you know, I am going through a job change, and I had talked about this in a prior show, and I can talk about it a little bit more now. As you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on Friday the 30th, I'm at my last day of work. And if you listen to it after that, I am no longer employed there. You know, I don't make no secret that I'm a lawyer by trade and by day profession. And this year has really, you know, kind of given me some opportunities to think bigger picture and think about things in a little bit different of a light, right? Things when you're, you know, I'm 30, what am I, 33, and you live through a year where, you know, a lot of people are getting sick, and you sort of see, you know, kind of a different, a totally different world than you otherwise would expected. And, you know, my odds of dying in any given day are very low at my, you know, at my, just my base rate of death is very low on a given day. But they, you know, they say that COVID basically doubles that. And when you think about that, it's like, okay, like, again, that still is very low. But when you think about that, it's like, huh, you know, that's a different way to to put a number on life. And along that time, I was actually recording, or my new job required you to, you know, basically block your time in 6-minute increments. And the combination of those things kind of makes you appreciate time a little bit. And so, you know, this Analytics of Dynasty thing, you know, has worked better, you know, than I could have imagined. And I'm in a position where I'm basically going to have two jobs. One is the Analytics of Dynasty and the football stuff, and take on a bigger role of football guys and that sort of stuff. But do more of this, right? Develop more of this and do more podcasts and do more content and, you know, try different things here. But I am also going to be working part-time as a lawyer I was a prosecutor beforehand, so I'm going to go back to doing that at a neighboring office just a couple of days a week, just doing some small stuff, but you know, keep some semblance of you know, the normal job, but just do it less and sort of work on some of this some more, and you know, see where that takes us. And you know, it's not to say maybe it's forever, but it's certainly something that I have the opportunity to try, and I think now it's important to do it. And one of the things, and I think this is really applicable to Dynasty, it's really the reason I'm sort of talking about this, you know, this is kind of a big time in terms of the Analytics of Dynasty coming out. It's always nice to reflect on it. But one of the things that really came in my decision-making process, and it was actually after I wrote the book, or it was after I had finished sort of putting in the content, and I could just keep writing and it would never finish, so I have to cap myself at some point. Maybe I'll use this in a future edition, but I came across the idea of, you know, I was trying to decide if I wanted to leave my job, and it got to a point where I couldn't really do my day job and do the Analytics of Dynasty. I really had to pick one, just because it's taking a lot of time. I'm doing a lot of work on it, and it's just not really fair. And, you know, it just wasn't going to be tenable. Like, they just weren't going to accept, you know, me not working, you know, as much as they thought I would have needed to. And it would have, you know, it just wasn't possible. So I had to pick one. And I did a lot of thinking about it. It was pretty stressful in terms of the decision. If you ever made a big life decision, it's, you know, it can be tough. And, you know, I was experiencing some stress symptoms, and I thought it was COVID and the whole thing. Right. So it wasn't an easy decision, but one of the things that I came across, and I think it's totally applicable to Dynasty, is a quote from Jeff Bezos, who's the founder of Amazon. And he's talking about when he was thinking about creating Amazon, and he was basically, you know, he was totally happy with life, and he was totally in a good job. He was married, you know, had a stable income, you know, it was in a field that he liked, you know, it was all this, you know, it was a job he liked. But he had this dream of doing this Amazon, right? And this is the beginning of the internet, and, you know, he's basically selling books, and he has this dream for this. And so, as he tells the story, he goes to tell his boss, who he had, you know, kind of talked the idea about Amazon through with, and so this wasn't a shock to him. They go on a walk, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I got to talk to you about this. You know, I've got this idea. I want to do this." And the boss said to him, basically, like, you know, talked to him for a couple hours and said, "Listen, I totally support you, but here's what I want you to do: take a couple days, really think about it, and then come back and tell me. And you know, just whatever you want to do, just let me know. But you know, take a couple days to think about it." And so Jeff Bezos came up with the, you know, basically the, you know, did some research and found what's known as the regret minimization, you know, it's regret minimization theory or whatnot, this decision process. And, you know, the way he tells the story, and I think a fascinating look into decision making and sort of putting yourself in a different spot. So basically, you know, so the idea was, he thought, you know, look at yourself when you're 80. And so he says, and think about the decision through that lens. And Bezos said, quote, "I knew that when I was 80, I was not going to regret having tried this. I was not going to regret trying to participate in this thing called the internet that I thought was going to be a really big deal. I knew if I failed, I wouldn't regret that. But I knew the one thing I might regret is never having tried." And that quote basically told me all I needed to know about the decision I needed to make. And it was very helpful. I think about that in Dynasty a lot, And, you know, there's a trade that goes back, and it's probably, you know, I could write a chapter on it, and I could probably write, you know, all the tenants that went into it, but it's hard, right? Sometimes making the right deal is very hard. And I traded for Dak Prescott, and I write about this in the book. I traded, and some subscribers who've been here from the beginning probably remember, might even remember this conversation. But I put it in the GroupMe chat, and it was hard. It was going to be Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, and Cam Newton for Dak. And I thought that, you know, Gurley and Fournette were probably going to be a pretty good tandem. And this was like early, it was like right before the season, I think. But I felt like they were both going to be able to contribute for me, and I thought Cam had something to offer. And so I knew by making the trade, just the way that my team had set up coming out of that startup draft, I knew that by making that trade, I was just not going to be able to compete, like truly compete. I just didn't have enough running back upside. And even, you know, there was I didn't get enough of the running back depth, and I didn't have really the big asymmetric bets, and it was just, I knew it was going to be a really hard thing to really fully get home on. And so, you know, without Gurley and Fournette, you know, I had two pretty good running backs that I thought, and, you know, so them being, you know, one and two, or maybe it was even two or three, and bumping down, you know, four and five down to where they belong, instead of, you know, I trade them and vault them up to two, that's a big difference, right, in terms of warp and all those things. But if I didn't make the deal, I'm basically, I've got three quarters that I didn't give for a dollar, because it felt really good to hold the coins right now. And if I sat here a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, what's the thing that I'm going to regret not doing? Really regret. And it's going to be not trading for Dak, because he's the premier asset in that. He would have been, you know, my 102, my quarterback two at the time in Superflex, right? And that was the thing that I was really going to regret not doing, right? If I did that and I got to that point with that deal and didn't pull that trigger, I knew that I was going to regret it. And that's not all deals, right? Like, that's not all deals aren't really that big. But I think when you get to a point of, you get, can really buy in on a core, you know, tremendous asset, that's really a thing to check your decision-making process and say, hey, listen, you know, am I going to sit here in 6 months and a year and be like, listen, I was just too nervous about the near term to pull the trigger on the thing that was really going to make a difference for me long term. And I think that's a really interesting mechanism to fall back on when you're looking at deals or when you're looking at these things. And, you know, so I think about it in drafting too. You know, like one thing that is a common topic right now, at least it has been in the Analytics Dynasty GroupMe chat, has been Jameis Winston. And, you know, I see where Jameis Winston's going. It's like, you know, the mid-second round of rookie pick equivalency. And it is, you know, in the hundreds or so, like, I don't know, between 100 and like 130, somewhere in that range is generally where I've seen him go. And just the payoff of that bet, of what it like could offer. Again, it's not anywhere near a guarantee. And if you're sort of wanted to extrapolate some of the hit rates in there, it's probably like 20 or 30%. But that 20 or 30% seems a little off with Winston, but doesn't capture maybe the 10 to 15% that could really be league winning, right? That could really be, you know, that he, in Superflex, he finishes as quarterback six and you got him as quarterback 30. Right, like the consequences of that are huge. And, you know, if you think about, hey, listen, I take this risk, like what's the thing that I would look back on and really kick myself over? It's taking the risk of like not having that, right? Not having that. So that's just a mechanism that I found in decision making that I thought was pretty helpful. And I went through some of these things in the book and didn't include that because it kind of happened after the fact. But I thought regret minimization was pretty interesting, and I'll even tag the video here for you to find in the show notes there. So it's a pretty interesting interview there with Jeff Bezos. So regret minimization. Think about, you know, put yourself forward 5 years, 3 years, you know, 2 years, whatever, and say, hey, what's the thing that I'm going to look back and really regret? And then make your decision through that lens. So, all right, well, thanks so much for being part of this Analytics of Dynasty development session. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. And do tune in Sunday or Friday night. There's going to be a book launch event on YouTube. So we'll get together. Adam Wilson, one of my editors. We've done some podcasts and some YouTube events together in the past. He will be joining me. We'll do a little Q&A and talk a little Dynasty. So you can look for that on the Analytics of Dynasty YouTube page, and I will have the I'll have it on my Twitter feed as well. So 9:30 Eastern time, Friday night. All right. Until next time, until then, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.